Engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Good evening, Atlanta. How are you? It is 5:09. It is 68. It depends on how the shade is on the thermometer outside. It's between 67 and 68 degrees. Welcome. The phone number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. That is T-A-L-K, if you live in Clayton County. Now, we've got news to get into. First, okay. How do I do? So, my buddy Leon is here with me. We were just discussing this story. How do I begin this story? I'm not going to tell you it's inappropriate for your kids. They, in fact, should hear this story, I think. The California Polytechnic University, the queer student union there, has organized a three-day, I'm going to call it poop-in, because if I use the word that they use, the FCC would take away both of my children and all of my money. Let's just say it's kind of close to sit-in, but there's an extra letter in there. We're going to call it the poop-in. Yes, that's what they called it, though. They didn't call it the poop-in. The students were there to preach gender diversity and encourage students to use gender-neutral bathrooms on campus. Put yourself in the shoes of a transgender non-conforming student and take the pledge to use only all-gender bathrooms. Students created a staged toilet in the middle of campus, where students signed and decorated with several banners, one of which read, "We've got blankety blank to deal with." Woohoo! So they're circulating a petition that states that the publicly funded university has identified only 5 bathrooms that are reasonably accessible, leaving non-cisgender students with a paltry amount of options when it comes to using the bathroom. Folks, I am not making that up. Meanwhile, over at NBC Nightly News, let me read you the story they're going to talk about tonight. When Mimi and Joe LeMay's baby was born in 2010, they heard the three words every parent wants to hear. It's a girl. But by age 2, their child was saying, "I'm a boy." By age 2, people, Mimi hoped this obsession with being a boy would go away, but it only grew stronger. Now, in a rare and candid interview, they share in their own words why they decided to let their 5-year-old transgender son, Jacob, who is a girl, transition and live publicly as a boy. NBC's Kate Snow will have more on transgender kids beginning Tuesday night on NBC Nightly News. Believe it or not, I'm using this as a kickoff point to talk about ISIS. Whoa! No, seriously, I am. Don't shoot me. There's a method to the madness that everyone around here is freaked out about, but I am a professional. I've been doing this for a couple years, ever since that guy got arrested in the crack house in Macon. I am a professional. But before I get to any of that, before I tie it all together for you, a 5-year-old girl whose parents have decided to let her become Jake, what is going on with the world? It's relevant to the ISIS conversation, but first, awkward transition time, Doug Turnbull on 285.
I'm just going to take that and run, Eric. 513 WSB, before the report, want to express condolences to two people that were big in the racing community that we lost today. One of them is a Fox Sports NASCAR reporter, Steve Burns, who is a friend of mine, a big friend of the racing community, just died of cancer, and just in his early 50s. And also, Marvin Reagan, the owner of Cordell Speedway, Watermelon Capital Speedway, down near you, Eric, he died of cancer last night. He is the uncle of David Reagan, who's a current NASCAR driver, so our thoughts and prayers with them, and glad that the Lord gave him a new body. 513 WSB, 285 west and south down. The outer loop is awful as you try to head out of the Dunwoody area, jammed in pretty much the whole way from Peachtree Industrial over to 75. There's a little break in the action, but southbound is stacked as well, but new trouble in the right lane, 285 south at Hollowell Parkway. Earlier trouble down at 166 has cleared. 285 east and south, the inner loop, slow waves the whole way for Georgia 400 around to Highway 78. There's trouble off to the left there, Eric.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so yes, believe it or not, I'm using these two nutty stories to transition Not transition into a girl, no. Transition into a conversation about ISIS. Wow, you people, what you have to put up with. A spokesman for a Muslim couple in Alabama says their 20-year-old daughter fled a Birmingham suburb, that's Birmingham, Alabama, to join Islamic State militants in Syria after being recruited on the internet. Attorney Hassan Shibley spoke at a Birmingham mosque on Monday on behalf of the parents of the young woman, who he identified only as Hoda. Shibley said Hoda left in November after being brainwashed for an undetermined length of time. He says the woman's actions go against the family's wishes and against the teachings of Islam. The spokesman added that Huda's family has been in contact with U.S. law enforcement and government officials since she disappeared. Now, this comes on the heels of a story from yesterday. Six people were arrested in Minnesota leading a recruitment ring on the internet for ISIS to send people to Syria. Here's the tie-in. We are a soft people. And we live in a culture on college campuses and on the TV news where up is down, down is up, evil is good, good is evil, bitter is sweet, sweet is bitter, right is wrong, wrong is right, boys are girls, girls are boys. You can pick your gender, you can pick your race, you can pick whatever you want. None of it is scientific, none of it is logical, none of it is biological. We are told that the moment you die, the worms eat your body, that there is nothing else, that what you should do as a person is to just have fun. If it feels good, do it. If it makes you feel better about yourself, identify as it. And parents play into this notion. NBC News is now going to start doing a series on transgendered kids as if they're normal. I'm sorry, but there's something wrong there. There's a something there. There is a mental issue there. But we're just treated as normal, and we're not allowed to say that there might be something not right there. People live on the internet, and they see things on the internet, and they think that the things on the internet are real, and the things that aren't on the internet are not real. Reality is imaginary. Imagination is reality. Meanwhile, all of us, because we have a soul, all of us, because we're created in the image of God, we know that there is a higher and better purpose for ourselves. We know it. Talk to any child out. Talk to this child who's decided that she is a he. And even that child understands that there's something more out there. And they're longing for something. Every person longs for something. Every person longs to be a part of something. This was one of the things that the Obama administration, and I mentioned this before, and I don't mean this as a pejorative against them. This was very smart of them. And this is what the Republican candidates are going to have to figure out in 2016. The Obama campaign realized that in their demographic, they had a lot of atheists, of supporters, millennial atheists, older atheists, and people who were agnostic, people who weren't regular churchgoers. That's the Democratic coalition. And they wanted to feel like they were part of something greater than themselves, because people want to feel part of something greater than themselves. And so they use religious rhetoric and they use religious overtones. We are the change we're looking for. This is the day that the oceans begin to recede and the world begins to heal. They did this intentionally. They did this purposefully to make people feel like they were a part of something greater than themselves. It's what campaigns these days have to do, because people get it. We live in a day and age where the world tells you there is nothing else. That you die, you go away, you cease to exist. So enjoy it while you can. And this sense from the world conflicts with something within us that tells us, no, there's an eternity. There is a purpose for me. There is a plan in this life. There is something greater. There is something moving beyond us. And so we have this whole conflict. We see these people who, in an academic setting, they're staging a poop in because that's all they got. It's about the here and now. It's about these people. They've identified boys as girls and girls as boys. The insane are running the asylum, but that's all there is. And the moment we die, there's nothing else. So we got to do this now. This is our cause for now. Meanwhile, you've got this girl in Alabama who believes she's fighting for the return of Christ and the Mahdi. and she sees the insanity of the world, and she sees the craziness around her, and she wants to be a part of something greater than herself. And because our academic setting, because our news setting, because our secular setting is no longer programmed to steer people to a higher and better use, they go out and they look for it themselves. And the people who buy into the notion that there's nothing after this life, the people who buy into the notion that the worms are going to eat you, they go off into hedonism. They go off into if it feels good, do it. And they go off and they stage a poop in at a university and declare that boys can be girls and boys can be girls and we should believe in global warming because of science, but don't believe the other because who cares what the science says? And meanwhile, you have these other people who say, I am going to go find something because I know the world is wrong. I know the world is lying to me. I know there is a cause greater than myself that is eternal, that I can be a part of. And because the world rejects that notion, these people go off and find something, and they connect culturally to their background. They connect culturally to things of their ancestors. And they believe that that's where they will go, and that's where they will have a higher and best use. And so one goes off and terrorizes those of us who refuse to accept the insanity. And the other goes off and joins a terror camp in ISIS. It is all insanity. And it's all because no one wants to recognize there's evil and there's good. And we got to keep a clear eye on which is which. I'm sorry, I'm visiting in the studio. And look at that. We don't even have time for a phone call. The phone number is 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls. I want to spend a few more minutes on this topic. It's not something I'm going to beat up all night long. We got to get into the governor's education plans, among other topics, when we come back. And so my buddy Leon is here. And he is, well, deeply embedded in and involved in Little League baseball. And we are going through this with our family. And this has been a topic on this show. And I may pick his brain on the character development in Little League sports. Maybe. We'll see. I might not put him on. He's from Tennessee, and he came in here and told us not to take any of his water. I know. We may just go raid the Tennessee River as a result. We'll be back. You know, this is a random related segment. You know, so Hugh Hewitt, a counterpart of mine, I guess, Red State is owned by Salem Communications, which produces and packages Hugh's show. He's asking all the presidential candidates if they would go to a gay wedding. When I first heard this, I thought it was typical left-wing media, but Hugh basically expects this to be the question from the media asked this year. So he's asking all the candidates if they would go to gay weddings. Scott Walker says he already has. Marco Rubio says it was someone he loved. Yes, they're all answering. The Democrats are not going to be asked gotcha questions. And I really do think we need to ask these Democrats, because we know it's coming for the Republicans. So we should ask the Democrats, do you believe scientifically that boys can become girls and girls can become boys? Do you believe that a white person can identify as black, or a black person can identify as Hispanic, Hispanic as Asian, Asian as white? I mean, this is the world we've gotten to, folks. It is upside down. And so the issue here, and first of all, as a guy who spent the better part of the last decade making his living on the internet, I blame the internet for this. I completely blame the internet. I do sound old, millennial, in their hush. Hipster. I'm not even 40 yet, but here's the issue. You can go online and find a community of people, and those people may be as bat poop crazy as I almost said it. The delay button, bat poop crazy as you are. But because you don't recognize that you're nuts, they don't recognize that they're nuts, and you have a sense of community. And you can feed off of each other. And then if you decide you're a victim group and you get together online, you can make yourself sound as if there are more of you than there are. And so then the media views the entire world, not really, and this is the dirty little secret. It's not really left versus right with the media. It's not really that they're liberal per se. So the media views every story in terms of victim and victimizer. Because if it bleeds, it leads. And if it has the potential to make you bleed emotionally, well, by God, that's blood too. So we got to put it there. Everything is in terms of victim and victimizer. And that translates into liberal versus conservative, big government versus small government, all that, because it's the small government guys who want government out of the way. They're the victimizers because they want to deny you the help from Uncle Sam's man boob. It is victim versus victimizer. And so when you have a small group of people, a crazy online, who have gotten together and decided that there are more of them than there actually are, they can harass sympathetic members of the media that they're victims. And they're being victimized by who? White Christian men. The only category of people who must in all cases be the victimizer, can never be the victim. If you are a white male who believes in Jesus Christ, you cannot be a victim. You can't be. Do you know why you can't be a victim if you're a white male who believes in Jesus Christ? It's because you're a bigot. I mean, that's it. You're a bigot. Now, if you're a white woman who believes in Jesus Christ, it could potentially be because of a white man who believes in Jesus forced you into doing it. It's true. What is this? What? Yep. Oh, yes, the white privilege gang sign. Yes, yes. And see, I'm going to go out of the community and try that. You're going to get me shot. Yes, yes. Some person draped in a multicolored flag is going to shoot me to punish my white privilege. You're a troublemaker, hipster millennial. But it's true, though. I mean, it is victim versus victimizer in all these cases. And so when the media hears this family, this poor family, whose two-year-old girl decides that she is a he, and the rest of us look at this and say, Well, is it their victim? And now we've got to do an entire series on NBC News about how this is normal. And we should accept it. And don't you say that there's something up here, because then you're just a victimizer. And, you know, occasionally people realize this is all nonsense. And because society can't process this anymore, that they go off and they try to find truth. And in many cases, they go off the deep end. The logical outcome. And I do. I'm serious here. I blame the internet. Now, someone who is not on the internet. Well, actually, is I've seen Jason Durden tweeting up there about how fast you guys are flat around down. One day, you're going to come sit in this chair, Doug Turnbull, and I'm going to sit up there and do traffic.
Hey, that sounds good. So that means I get to host the show. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, it becomes the Doug Turnbull and Atlanta's Evening News with Eric Erickson doing traffic. I will screw it all up and get people lost.
Let's argue we go so long in the reports that it already is the traffic show, okay? So 544 WSB. We'll try to keep this one short, Eric. 285 West and Southbound jam from Doraville, past 75 and Cobb, and south down to the struggle of the right lane between Bolton and Hollowell Parkway. So you have the big jams there. Interloop backups, 285 east and south from 400 on the north side around the trouble. Still on the left shoulder, 285 south on Highway 78 into DeKalb County. Jammed up in both directions on the south side perimeter, 285 east and westbound, anywhere between Hartsville Jackson Airport and the Riverdale Road area. That's because of trouble, 85 south of Flat Shoals, Eric.
Well, up in Gwinnett, my friend Steve, I texted him, his wife is due, and texted him to see if she's had the baby yet, and says he's headed home now, might be headed to the hospital. I hope he doesn't get stuck in the traffic. This is really why he doesn't listen to me. He listens to Doug Turnbull. It's true. Everybody, I admit it, listens to Doug. That's why Doug should be here. I want to be in the helicopter. I have never flown in a helicopter before. Never that I can. No. Never been in a helicopter. My dad worked offshore. And 7 days on and 7 days off, and would fly on a helicopter out and a helicopter back. And I've never been on one. I mean, it's not like my Gulfstream that one day I will have, but nonetheless, I'm rambling now. Okay, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Them's the phone numbers. What is this? God, David on Twitter says, God does not want blacks to be white, whites to be black, straight to be gay, vice versa. He wants us to be... David, you're just a hateful bigot if you believe that. I mean, really. Get with the 21st century. That is so, like... 2.5 years ago in thinking, David. Good grief. We'll be back. Welcome back. Let's go to the phones to Alan in Alpharetta. Welcome. How are you?
I'm well, Eric. I'm the minority calling. I'm a 50-plus-year-old white male.
Oh, how many people have you victimized in your life?
Wait a minute. I'm married to a white woman.
Uh-huh.
We're believers in Jesus Christ.
Oh.
Where I come from, BLT... for bacon, lettuce, and tomato, and gay was another word for happy.
And, you hateful bigot.
Finish, Eric, before you go to break, on the new forms that the politically correct are coming out with, we once checked male for M for male and F for female. There's a new category in a box called C for confused. So for all of those who have changed the letters BLTG to something new, it's all one letter, really. C, confused. Thank you, sir. Have a nice evening.
Yeah, you too, Alan. Thanks very much. Oh, Alan, hateful bigot from Alpha Roy. We're going to have to put him on, like, the Southern Poverty Law Center website or something. Phil in Woodstock, welcome.
Thank you. Chromosome count. You're born a man. You're born a woman. I don't care what the plumbing is. Count the chromosome.
Well, you know, we used to be able to do that when science was our god, but now emotions are our god, unless it comes to global warming.
You're absolutely right, but a fact is a fact. It'll make a difference. Bruce Jenner will always be a man.
That is true. I tell you, that whole Kardashian thing, I just don't get it. I mean, you can't tell. See, this is, and you know, there was actually an article, I think, of the Hollywood Reporter 2-3 weeks ago that the BLT and GQXYZ and A community was upset with this story because they think it'll put a bad face on people transitioning, that people will look at that, see his career, see what he did in his life, and say, there's something not right here. And they don't want that. They want the parents whose two-year-old decides she's a he. Yes. Yeah, I'm telling you. Oh, I'm not going to say that. I want to so bad, but I'm not going to say that. Okay, when we come back, I am shifting gears, people. Because, you know, when we come back, I want to actually have a discussion. My buddy Leon is here. I am learning about the politics of youth baseball, which he tells me I should say youth and not Little League. It's a political organization. We'll get back in a minute and discuss this.
Running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
You should. But yeah, you also get Asian privilege, too. I mean, you've got, like, the double trump card. You're good at, in math. We're going to, Jared and I are going to get each other in trouble. Welcome. How are you? It's Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. So, I don't know about you guys, but those of you who are in my general, like, age group have kids, possibly, and we signed our 6-year-old up for Little League, and guess what? We have not played practically any games because it's been raining. The fields have been flooded. And, you know, I love you guys, but I'm going to have to start pre-taping shows because the few games he's played, I've mostly missed because they are between 5 and 7, where guess where I am. So we got a couple coming up, and I may have to pre-tape the show to be able to get to them. My buddy Leon Wolf writes with me at redstate.com. I've often talked about him on air, citing things that he has written. He is very active in youth baseball in Nashville, Tennessee. And so he's here, and I'm putting him on the spot, and I'm bringing him on air because I was intending to talk about this subject this week anyway, and it's appropriate since you're here. Welcome.
Hey, Eric. Thanks for having me.
So what do you think about your first fun-filled day sitting in studio with me?
Well, it's fantastic, all the great technology that y'all have in here, the 70s style paneling and the the buttons that look like they were imported from the set of WKRP around here. It's high-tech stuff.
Yes, yes. The pig farmer right now is chuckling like menacingly. Okay, so I have we've had this discussion off air, and I've talked with the audience about this before. I've got a six-year-old who turned six in December, and there were parents telling me that it was too late, that it was too late for him to be in baseball, that he needed to be in when he was four, he needed to be in when he was five because of how competitive it's gotten. Is it fun when it's that competitive?
No, and those people that you've talked with are people that we call insane. I mean, that's just not... Listen, at the age of four, I mean, they're barely learning what direction. They just have barely had the mental capacity to know which direction to run after they hit the ball.
But what if they are playing baseball and they identify as a football player?
Well, they're going to be in some trouble when they try to run over the first baseman. You get ejected for that in baseball.
Yeah, I guess so. What I have learned, though, is and there are people who – for one reason or another, economic or they're living their dreams through their kids, they are convinced that their kid is going to be the next Tom Glavine, Nolan Ryan. They're going to get a college scholarship. They're going to, I mean, they are mom and dad's golden ticket to the Willy Wonka factory.
Yeah, so I mean, this is the information that we know. I mean, the statistical analysis has been done. Approximately one in every 10,000 kids who comes through youth baseball makes it to the pros. I actually am on the board of the largest youth baseball club in Tennessee. We have 1,800 kids who come through a year. So on average, once every 5 years, we'll have a kid come through our program who goes to the pros at all. And we've actually, you know, seen that in terms of the history of our program. And I think once you lay that kind of number out, I mean, there's some parents that you just can't reach. And I want to encourage, you know, any parent who wants to get their, you know, kids some training and try to make them better. You know, if it's kid driven, I think it's fine. If the kid says, I want to get better, I want to get this training, I think that's fantastic. I think the problem comes when it's parent driven and the parent says, we want you to go play this travel ball and have this coach and pay all this money. If the kid is not driving it, it's not fun for the kid, and the parents need to kind of relax.
I want to come back to this thought, but first, there is a red alert on the south side. Doug Turnbull.
Indeed, Eric, it's just subsided, though, and that's the good news. So we can dial everything down just a little. 613 WSB, but all lanes were blocked for about 10 to 15 minutes. 85 south at Flat Shoals, just south of Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, below the south side perimeter, but the lanes have just reopened. 85 south is jammed up down from Camp Creek Parkway. That's done a number on the perimeter. First, the outer loop, 285 south, is backed up south of 166. The inner loop, 285 west, is jammed in through the Hartsfield-Jackson Airport tunnel. Now, the rest of 285, we see outer loop delays, 285 west and south, still scattered the whole way for Peachtree Industrial Boulevard around I-20 on the west side. Inner loop backups 285 east and south most of the way for 400 in Sandy Springs around the 78 DeKalb. Eric,
I have a friend, and I've mentioned this on air before. He has a teenager who, I guess, he's now 18, and his dad roped him into baseball. I shouldn't say his dad roped him. He wanted to play baseball when he was little, and when he hit teenage years, he gave it up. And to this day, as he is heading to college, his father is still resentful of the fact that his ticket to the major leagues gave it all up. And now I think he plays recreational soccer, but has nothing to do with baseball anymore. Doesn't want to have anything to do with baseball anymore. And I look at families I know who are engaged at that level. I'm like, I thought this was about having fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad to see parents who live vicariously through their kids to that degree. I mean, and it happens in all walks of life. Of course, it's not just baseball. You know, you see it in, you know, theater or music or band.
Just one time at band camp.
Yeah, I mean, no, but you want to encourage your kids. You want to try to help them blossom into what it is that they want to be. And, you know, I'm the biggest proponent of youth baseball there is. I spend probably 20 to 40 volunteer hours a month on it. But as I said to you earlier, Eric, it's not for everybody. I mean, everything is not for everybody. And I do see kids who are forced out there by their parents. And it's not just that they don't have the aptitude for it, but they clearly don't have the desire to be there. And to me, I just encourage parents to let the kids drive, you know, whether they want to be involved in that. And And to the extent that they love it and are dedicated to it, man, go right along with them. Help coach. Become involved. You know, volunteer on a higher level if you can.
I am talking to my buddy Leon Wolf, who is down from Nashville visiting with me, hanging out, taking him out to dinner, some of you know where, later. And I just decided I was going to put him on air tonight and talk about this topic, which I was going to talk about with you guys anyway this week, whether he was here or not. Now, you guys have had the same weather we've had, so you haven't played baseball in days.
It's been an absolute atrocity. I mean, we had our entire practice season snowed out, not rained out. I mean, we had, of course, all that global warming that fell in March. I don't know if you guys got any of that. But yeah, it's been rough. It's been very difficult to schedule any of the games. And so as a consequence, I got to go back tomorrow. I got 3 days in a row.
Gosh, and your wife expecting, how does she deal with you being at baseball all the time?
She deals very well, and she's supportive. She comes to the game and sits there and claps, even though baseball is not her thing. So I'm glad to have her support.
Okay, let me move on to some other topics, because you have at Red State, there's not even a transition here. This is just completely moving on to something else. You have been one of the voices online and off about a lot of these police stories around the country.
Right.
Police brutality stories around the country. And I appreciate your perspective, if only because it's not the typical what you would think if you went to redstate.com, a conservative right-wing site. There's a lot of distrust towards police out there, and you have noticed this a lot.
Well, and I think that that's an inherently conservative position in a lot of ways. You know, distrust of authority and you know, really taking a skeptical view of government power. And what I think a lot of people don't understand, and listen, we all know cops who do their jobs well, and we're thankful that they're there and for the job that they do. But in the larger sense, you know, who they are is they're agents of the government. And furthermore, they're lethally armed agents of the government, and we need to be as skeptical of them as we would be any other claim of authority that the government has, whether it's the EPA or the BATF or anything else.
Do you think, though, at the same time, there are some people who are almost using some of these incidents to undermine the idea of civil law enforcement altogether? I mean, I'm skeptical to some degree of some of my libertarian friends, using air quotes out there, who seize on every story, no matter how little we know about what has happened, to say, oh, obviously it was the cops' fault.
Well, I mean, that's the nature of the world we live in, isn't it? I mean, now that we have Twitter, everybody's got to have an opinion, and they've got to have it immediately. There's precious little time anymore for anybody to sit back and actually form an intelligent viewpoint after considering all the facts, because we're all expected, especially in the business we're in, to have something to say quickly. But I think that if you look at, you know, what has happened, I think, you know, the Eric Garner case in New York was, I think, a great case that people could say, you know, here's some police overreach. I think this was clearly excessive force. Michael Brown in Ferguson, I think once the evidence came in and it took some time for that to happen, people could say, you know, the story is not what we thought it was. But on the whole, what I think is good is that as society, we have become more ready to pull out our phones and videotape police in more of these encounters, so we know exactly what happened and we don't have to guess. We don't have to automatically assume here's a cop's word versus here's a guy who is busted for doing something allegedly criminal. That word, now at least we have some more facts, and I think that's an overall positive development.
404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Them's the numbers. Shifting gears dramatically again when we come back. An orangutan playing a guitar. It was an ad campaign for Hard Rock. They've had to pull it. Oh, no, no, no. It's not why you think. I'll tell you why when we come back. I haven't forgotten about the orangutan playing the guitar. It is. No, no, no. Race has nothing to do with it. And I know that's your initial reaction. I'll get into the story at the bottom of the hour. But first, I want to go to Mike in Atlanta. Welcome to the program. Mike, how are you? Mike, you there?
Mike is here.
Ah, excellent. So you are a police officer.
Well, sheriff deputy, yes.
And so what are your thoughts on this whole insistence now that all police officers wear body cams?
That's fine. If we wear body cams, we don't have a problem with that. But mark my word, in 2 years, when it starts showing the attitudes and the lifestyles of the people that we come in contact on a daily basis, there will be a lawsuit saying that we're violating their privacy. For us to serve a warrant in a house, when we go to the house, we knock on the door, we have to advise them that we have a body cam on and we're allowed to continue taping this conversation inside your residence. They say, no, we have to cut it off. But I'm telling you, in the next year and a half to 2 years, when this starts hitting the court system and the individuals or suspects we're dealing with see themselves in courts showing their behavior, they will throw a federal lawsuit or a civil rights lawsuit saying that we're violating their civil rights.
Yeah, you know, I actually think here's where I think that the suit is more likely to come up. And I think that is they tell you no, so you turn off the body cam and you go in the house. And then they go into wild hysteria that you didn't have your body cam on. And the media, of course, flips into wild hysteria over the fact. And, of course, no one pays attention to the fact that they told you to turn it off. That's where I think you're more likely to get a complaint than the other. I don't know that they will be able to do that given the demands of the body cam. I'll discuss this with Leon as well when we come back. And Fred on the cost of travel teams and this orangutan playing a guitar. You're not going to guess why it was so controversial and Hard Rock had to yank the you just won't, but I'll tell you. I'm back. Eric Erickson here. Joining me in studio, my buddy Leon Wolf. Taking him to dinner afterwards. He drove down from Nashville to see me. Clark Howard actually hung out in the studio for a little while talking about how cool Nashville is. It's a nice place. I like Nashville. You like living there, don't you?
I've lived all over the country, and Nashville is hands down best place I've ever lived. Hope to never leave.
My wife, that's now one of the one places. That in Austin, Texas, I think she could move to. All right, Fred in Sandy Springs. Back to baseball. Fred, the cost of travel teams.
Yeah, no, hey, Eric, how are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Doing well. I'm a Red State damn Yankee, and I don't think I've ever agreed with you on anything you've ever mentioned on the radio, though I enjoy listening to it. And here I've agreed with three things. It's shocking.
Uh-oh.
Love Nashville, greatest city ever, and it ties into my whole thing about travel teams, which in my case is my daughter's volleyball. I have to tell you, she was the one who drove me into it, but I have to respond to Leon by saying it's great if they drive you into it, but it's almost as if there's a travel team industry. The amount of money that we ended up having to spend to sort of keep up with the Joneses was getting to be ridiculous, and the level of seriousness in the hopes of getting college scholarship was just beyond my comprehension. At the Georgia World Congress Center, they have something called the Big South. There are 13,000 girls, middle school and high school, and I think maybe fifth graders on up, that come around from the country. I think people are spending on average $6,000 a year on these travels.
Good Lord.
And I was like, is everyone rich? I really lost my mind. And the level of seriousness and the cutthroatness, it started to lose its appeal by the time our daughter finished up ninth grade going into 10th. And I lost it and said, you know, I just don't have the money. It's too much pressure. And, you know, and she could have theoretically potentially been material for college. I mean, she's really good. But I just didn't have the stomach and, quite frankly, the money to just keep it going. And
Fred, you say that, and I see these situations with baseball now, too, where I've had parents tell me that if your kid isn't showing potential within a year of playing, that they're going to be shunted off to the garbage team where all the bad players go so that all the coaches have a chance of winning.
Right. It's all about winning. And I'll never forget, we went up to, is it eight? No, what's the A1, I think, is the club. Mm-hmm. They're the big club in Atlanta. And I'll never forget, they had this whole they had a training session for tryout. It wasn't a tryout. It was a training session for tryout. And the coach whistles them in, brings them all in, and he asks all these girls who are like seventh graders and eighth graders and says, so tell me, do you think I want the kid that comes in and, you know, just bust their chops in practice and, you know, is always, you know, scoring the points in practice? Or do I want the kid who maybe slacks off in practice but really nails it in the game? And, of course, all the girls raise their hands when he asked about the practice.
Right.
And he yells out, no, all I want are winners.
Good grief. Wow.
So I just thought I should share that.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And thanks for listening, even though you disagree. I mean, what do you do with coaches who are that competitive in your situation?
We as a club have very low tolerance for that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, we're primarily a rec baseball league. I mean, we have some travel teams that we sponsor, but you know, we watch them very closely. And we're about the kids, and I think that's how youth baseball organizations should be. If people want to take their kid to something like that, you know, and hope for a college scholarship, I mean, those places are out there. But I don't want parents to get the idea that they're going to run into that just by taking their kid to the local youth baseball park, because I think most places have the right kind of focus. I think you have to really seek out that level. But it can exist in anything, and it's not just sports. I mean, Eric, you and I have a mutual friend. I won't say his name. His daughter's dance. They used to spend $15,000, $20,000 a year on their dance mm-hmm. studio. Now, of course, the oldest one is going to probably get a scholarship to a very nice college out of it. But anything you get into.
And you know the one I'm hearing lately? Golf. Mm-hmm. For girls.
Yeah.
Because colleges have to keep the scholarships balanced, male, female. There aren't a lot of girl golfers, and so suddenly there's competitive golfing for girls in high school to get a college scholarship.
Well, golf and tennis are, of course, the two sports in which females have roughly, well, not total parity in earning capacity, but almost parity. So yeah. that actually makes sense.
I still don't want to watch it on TV. All right, Scott and Marietta, you are up next. Welcome.
Hey, yeah, I've played club and travel ball. I've coached it. But the cool thing now is that there are whole new leagues through churches and communities, and entrepreneurs just opening up the door for kids who just want to have fun. So there's more options out there.
That reminds me. So I was on Fox on Outnumbered a couple weeks ago, and there's a story we talked about at the end where the group actually reached out to me where parents can pay for their teenage kids to go to a baseball camp where there are no teams. It's just they get together, and the kids who show up, they form teams out of it. No scholarships. Everybody gets a trophy at the end for actually playing. There's no competition. There's no Little League World Series. The parents are just paying for their kids to show up on a field and be able to play and have fun.
People may disagree with it, but, I mean, the kids are having fun. And, again, as someone who needs to make money, I'm sure there's coaches and things like that out there that just have a lifestyle for the kids.
I guess so. Scott, thanks very much. Doug Turnbull on 285.
Indeed, Eric, and I want to say, I don't know why they play so much on Sundays, too. My eighth grade guys always miss our
yes,
Sunday
that is such
afternoon.
A pet peeve of mine. We will not let our kid play baseball on Sunday.
I'm just saying. Of course, I love NASCAR, and they race on Sunday. 644 WSB. Guess that makes me a hypocrite. Also makes me the bearer of bad news on 285. Although it's improving, it's still slow west and southbound from the Dunwoody area, trying to get through Vinings on the outer loop to also 285 south. Stacked in solid for 166 down to that slow 85 right. 85 south, trouble's been clearing at Flat Shoals Road. That jammed up the south side perimeter. Interloop delays on 285 westbound between 75 and 85 on the south end. You also have interloop delays on the north side. 285 east and south, still scattered from Ashford Dunwoody around past the North Lake Mall area, Eric.
Thank you, sir. Okay, now I want to get back with you because you're also a lawyer, and I haven't revealed that. We had the police officer call in earlier, said that they have to get permission to film the people as they go in. Now, I didn't know that a police officer wearing a body cam. I mean, I thought that was the point, that it stays on the whole time.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, obviously I don't know the law here in Georgia, but most states are single party record states. So what that essentially means, at least, you know, for wiretap purposes, is as long as one person consents to the recording, you can record somebody else. And unless you're in a place where somebody has a reasonable expectation of privacy. So you don't have to have someone's consent. If you have your phone in your pocket, you want to turn on the audio recorder and you guys are both out in public having a conversation, you can record that in most states. Some states do require that both parties consent. But even when there's a situation where there's a reasonable expectation of privacy, like where you might record someone where they wouldn't have any expectation that somebody would be listening. If you're a police officer there to serve a warrant, the government has basically met their burden to invade your reasonable expectation of privacy. So, I mean, I don't doubt that might be his department's policy, but I don't think that that's necessarily any kind of law that's going to come into place where police officers are going to face a lawsuit. Now, could be an issue if they release the tape without having grounds to do so, some sort of excessive publication issue, but just to have it on and have a recording, I don't think is going to create the
law.
Could
make Freedom of Information Act requests, press requests, interesting to have these all these tapes recorded.
Yeah, but most FOIA statutes and state statutes also include a provision that allows the police to not release information that's part of an ongoing criminal investigation. So at least while it's an active case, they can just say, sorry, I'm not going to release that.
Very well said, lawyer man. We'll be right back. Okay, first of all, I have to remind you, Five Seasons Brewing on Thursday. Jared just told me I have to, or we're going to get in trouble with Buffy. She'll crack the whip on us. She will. Flog us. Yep. So you got to be there on Thursday, 5 to 7, Five Seasons, Marietta Street on the west side. We'll be there. Hunter Hill will be there from the state senate. We'll be toasting him for his work on the beer jobs bill. They'll be brewing some special batches of beer. Now, I got to try to get in a phone call here, but I got to explain the orangutan story first. So Hard Rock Cafe has an ad up now. It has an orangutan photoshopped to be playing the guitar. No. When I first saw the story as well, I figured someone was going to say it's racist, and in some way they're going to try to make that connection. No, it is offensive because the orangutan is playing the guitar. This is an ad in Malaysia. They're opening a new Hard Rock Cafe there, and the symbol of the city wherein they're opening the Hard Rock Cafe, the symbol of the city is an orangutan. Well, orangutans don't play guitar, so they nearly caused rioting by putting an orangutan playing a guitar in an ad for the place, because orangutans don't play guitars, and the locals decided that that was deeply offensive. There are people, wow. Those people could all go to California Polytechnic University. Joe in Noonan, you're going to be the last caller. Welcome.
Hey, Eric. Love your show.
Thank you.
And thank you for the unapologetic Christian stance that you take.
Oh, glad to. Appreciate it.
I just wanted to chime in. I am one of those people that shouldn't exist, because I didn't start playing baseball until I was 10. I never played travel ball, and yet I still got a full-ride scholarship and played college.
Wow.
And basically, my whole stance on it is you're either born with athletic ability, you're born with some athletic ability, or you don't have any. And if you've got the hard work and tools, you can make it work. It's very Darwinian almost how athletics will weed out those who can and can't play.
Yeah, you got that right. Although you're not allowed to say that today, Joe. Everybody gets a trophy in modern America. I got to let you go there because we got 3 seconds. We're out of time. I'll be back tomorrow. Thanks, Joe, for the call.